As always, I'm joined by Andy Lyman for this week's conversation to help us make sense of what's going on in New Mexico's political world. He's a reporter with New Mexico Political Report and the co-host of the Growing Forward podcast, and that's about the cannabis industry in the state of New Mexico. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, it's good to be back.
The big thing this past week has been the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department announcing proposed rules for non-medical cannabis sales on May 25th, which was this past Tuesday. And I'm sure you've taken a pretty long look at these. What things have you noticed from previous rules that have changed?
One thing right off the bat that I had looked at before, and maybe other people don't necessarily think about it all that much, but tighter restrictions or stricter guidelines on security measures for dispensaries. There's been not a ton, but a number of armed robberies, I think, even during the day for some of these dispensaries that exist currently. And that's because the Department of Health, which oversees medical cannabis right now, they don't really get too deep into what you have to have. They just say you have to have a security plan. These new rules say that you have to have cameras at certain areas. And I think sort of it says something about, you know, having a secured area and having it separate from public view. So I think they're trying to push people to have sort of a security door, maybe a waiting room. There's a few dispensaries now that don't have that. So you just kind of walk in. And one of the cases I wrote about, or one of the robberies I wrote about, a guy just came in and hopped the counter and he had access to all this stuff because there was no security door. In comparison, I also looked at, this was a couple of years ago, but a security footage of somebody in a dispensary that has that lock and they went and kicked the door. It didn't work. And so they ran out. So it sort of proves that some of these security measures are more just a deterrent than anything else.
There's this plant cap for producers and also something that has to do with the canopy rule.
I think in other places that have legalized cannabis, fully legalized recreational use, they measure or sort of limit production or monitor production with a canopy space license. In other words, they say this is how much space you're going to take up, and that's sort of how they measure how much is grown and how much to charge each of these producers. Here in New Mexico, we have, from my understanding, sort of an outdated mode of plant caps, meaning can only grow so much per producer. Of course, that's caused problems with other producers saying, you know, we need to have more. These rules actually have both written in there. So it's sort of slightly unclear whether they're going to lean towards this canopy model of measurement or plant limits. I should say that the Cannabis Regulation Act allows for plant limits or production limits of some sort for, I believe, about 6 years. And then that sort of provision sunsets as long as they don't go back and change the law. So in theory, in 6 years, 7 years, there won't be any sort of limitation on how much they grow. But I've heard from producers that they're sort of putting both those provisions, the canopy and the plant counts, in there to sort of gauge where everyone falls. So of course, we have up until June 29th, so a little bit more than 30 days of public comment where folks can send in emails or drop them a note somehow. And then of course, the day of the hearing, they'll allow public comment. So I think they're going to try to see where everybody stands on that issue.
There's this thing about the new rules, zoning requirements stuff. I know there's some controversy going in Albuquerque right now and some talk among city councilors about where they are going to put these cannabis providers. Can you explain what's going on there real quickly? How is this controversial for some people? Why are they doing something like this?
A little history on it. During the legislature, there was some debate over whether you could have local options to opt in or opt out of legalization. And sort of the argument there to not have that opt-out clause was to say, well, you can, through zoning, you can sort of craft, you know, how many dispensaries are in your municipality or county. And so now all eyes are on Albuquerque, because as far as I know, they're the first municipality that's sort of looking to redo the zoning law. And my understanding from other news reports is that the mayor said they kind of only have once a year to sort of redo the zoning code. And so what they're trying to do right now is just sort of put in place rules on where they can put these dispensaries, or consumption areas are a big one that's going to come up. And so it's caused some controversy amongst would-be producers, folks that are trying to get into the business, as well as current producers. They're saying it's overly restrictive and that they would essentially get pushed into an industrial area part of town. And so the city councilors who are pushing for it, as well as the mayor, say it's overblown, that the concern is overblown. But, you know, Monday evening, tonight, actually, they will discuss it again. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make some pretty big changes to it, because anytime you get industry folks coming in and saying this is a really bad idea, elected officials that tend to listen to that, because I think they sort of defer to these business folks. But yeah, that's sort of the back and forth. One side says, you know, you're going to basically zone us out of Albuquerque. The other side says, which is the city, says, no, everything's fine. But it does sort of set the tone for other places, because there's other cities, counties, towns across the state that probably would like to restrict it even more than that. So I think, you know, one producer told me, if this is what Albuquerque's doing, I would hate to see what sort of liberties other places take across the state.
And I just want to reiterate, me and Andy are talking on May 28th. It's a Friday. This will air on Tuesday, which is election day for the CD1 seat that will be coming to a close. But kind of shifting to that topic of the CD1 special election, Democratic candidate Melanie Stansberry has been getting these really heavy endorsements lately, like President Joe Biden and our own Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. And I just wanted to run through the numbers right here reported by the Albuquerque Journal, or specifically Dan Boyd. So as of yesterday, there were 71,309 votes that have been casted. By party affiliation, the Democrats are at 42,069, Republicans are 20,577, Libertarians are 318, and Independents slash Other are 8,345. It's useful to point out that it's typical for elections right now for Democrats to vote via absentee ballot rather than in person, and Republicans are usually voting in person right now. But those absentee ballots are making up around 31% of the current votes casted, as I said. This looks like there needs to be a pretty big upset for Republicans to win here, right, Andy? It just seems like it's kind of a given now at this point. And this is speculative, but the numbers say a lot here.
I think you're pretty much right. I think there's a lot of other factors that go into this. It's been a while since that seat has been Republican. And so it's every election cycle, it's sort of gets safer and safer for Democrats. The other thing to remember is that, you know, they're just going off of voter registration. It's hard to say, you know, where these votes get split, as far as we've got an independent candidate who's sort of a libertarian, but he's running as an independent. And then you've got an actual libertarian running under the Libertarian Party. And so, excuse the term, I'm not sure that I like it that much, but it's sort of like who takes which vote, or who steals votes from whom. So there's, I'm not sure that it's going to be really surprising here, but so I think, I think Democrats probably will vote for the Democratic candidate, but you just never know, right? You could be registered Democrat and vote for Aubrey Dunn or vote for Chris Manning, but the reverse is true also. You could be a Republican and say, I'm not really into this Republican candidate, but here's Aubrey Dunn, who's been around for a while, or here's a Libertarian candidate. So yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it sort of lends itself to a Democratic win in this one.
Well, Andy Lyman is a reporter with New Mexico Political Report. Just search for his work at newmexicopoliticalreport.com. He's also the co-host of the Growing Forward podcast. And as always, thanks for chatting with me.
It's always a pleasure, Bryce. Thank you.